This is Innovations in Patient Care. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Innovations in Patient Care. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This episode is sponsored through the generous support of Physio-Control. Find out more about how they are helping healthcare professionals innovate and improve outcomes in healthcare at physio-control.com, or look for them on Facebook and Twitter. I recently attended the NTI Critical Care Nurses Conference in Houston, Texas, and I stopped by the Physio-Control booth to chat with some of the nurse educators there. Here is Nurse Nicole Kupchik. We talk about hospital staff and what they can do to better manage cardiac arrest patients before, during, and after the code. Check it out. Hi, Jamie Davis here at NTI 2017 here in Houston, Texas. We're here in the Physio Control booth, and I am here with talking with my good friend Nicole Kupchik. Nicole, how are you?
Good, Jamie Davis. How are you?
I'm very good. It's exciting always to see you. You're one of the amazing educators here in the Physio booth, talking about all sorts of things. What are you talking about here today that you've really think is important for nurses to take home and internalize?
Yeah, so my two big topics are going to be capnography and then post-arrest care. And then in addition, we're going to be doing some mock codes today.
Okay, so let's start with capnography real quick. What are some of the things that nurses aren't doing when they think about capnography? Because I know on my paramedic side of things, you know, we've been dealing with capnography for things like intubation for a long time.
I think first of all, let's start with using it. Let's just start there. And then, you know, in general, I think we're starting to use it more and more in post-resuscitation care, where I think most hospitals are using it for procedural sedation. But I think there are a lot of other uses that people don't realize. And one of the big ones is in low cardiac output states as a measure of perfusion. And so one of the things we're doing is we're doing the passive leg raise test many times in septic patients to try to decide, is this patient a fluid responder? And there have been some data published showing that when your capnography goes up by at least 5% with the passive leg raise test, that's an indicator your patient's is a fluid responder. I wouldn't just give my patient fluid just to treat a number, but if your patient's hypotensive and you're trying to make that decision, fluid pressor, that's where using the passive leg raise technique with some sort of either a stroke volume measure or capnography can be super helpful.
Awesome. So what about the other topic you talked about? I think post-arrest care, was it?
Yeah, so bottom line, post-arrest care, a couple things you need to think about. Number one, does the patient need to go to the cath lab? That's huge. We need to be asking that question. If they've got ST elevation, it's a no-brainer. They need to go to the cath lab. But the problem is a lot of patients have coronary occlusions and don't have ST changes on their post-arrest 12-lead ECG. And so one of the trends now is to just take patients to the cath lab. And so that would be one thing. Another thing is just making sure patients aren't hypoxic or hyperoxemic. I'd say a couple other things I would mention is that you definitely need to be controlling temperature after cardiac arrest. So the current guidelines say anywhere from 32 to 36 degrees. And it's not that you let the patient vacillate between 32 and 36 degrees. You pick a temperature and you stick there. Now, interestingly, I was a very early adopter. My hospital, we were very early adopters in therapeutic hypothermia back in 2002. Now, in 2013, there was a study published showing that maybe there's some, we might have another option going up to 36 degrees, so basically you'd be taking the patient down to 36 degrees. However, there have been some kind of conflicting data from centers who have gone to 36 degrees, and a couple of centers are reporting that their outcomes have actually gotten worse once they've gone to 36 degrees.
So we just need to keep watching the research, And that's why it's so important for nurses to stay on top of these things and to really follow that kind of information.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing is, if you're working in a facility and you're in a position that you can collect data, you need to be collecting data on a lot of these. You know, when you make a change, you need to monitor and really see, you know, is this change effective? And, you know, surprisingly, some facilities are finding that, you know, going to 36 degrees may not have been the right thing. So, I don't know. I think it's one of those things we're questioning right now.
Yeah, and so good to ask the questions and good to then keep looking for the answers then. You're also doing something about it with the mock code, and you know, you talked a little bit about practicing and getting data. I mean, it's important to start with practice and learning how to collect that data and do good quality code management by practicing it beforehand.
Absolutely. One of the things we're finding in hospitals is CPR quality is somewhat dismal. And we've got to get it right. These are one of those things. You just have to get it right. The other thing we've been focusing on more and more is effective defibrillation. We're finding that there are big pauses before we shock patients, and we really need to tighten that up and make sure those pauses aren't there. And so another thing we're finding is people overventilate. I showed a case in my presentation today where they were ventilating anywhere from 41 to 55 a minute. Wow. You should be ventilating 10 times a minute. And it has a direct impact on your CPR quality. So I just think, you know, practicing as a team, there's some things you can tighten up and really learn, and then kind of take that into your practice.
Excellent. And last thing is, since I've last spoken to you, you've got 4 books out now, I understand.
Yes, I do. So I've been teaching certification review classes for over 10 years. So I teach a review class. It's a combo class for the CCRN certification and the PCCN certification. And over the years, a lot of nurses have been really like kind of pushing me to say, please publish books. Because I think people feel a lot of the books out on the market now, are they're too big. There's too much information. And what a lot of people like about my style is I just get right down to the point. I don't mess around. You get right to the point. And so I wrote the books with the same intention. They're very direct. They're to the point. There's not a lot on anatomy and physiology because I think nurses, that's the basic and they should know that. Mm-hmm. And I just really got to the point. One book is each of the exams have a study book and then each of the exams have a practice question book. So the practice question books have 3 full practice tests that have answers and rationale. So I was like, whew, it's been a busy year.
It has been a busy year, but that's really exciting. Yeah. Is there some place people can go and find that?
Yes, they can go to Nicole, Nicole Kupchik, Kupchik, consulting.com, or they're on Amazon as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, we'll make sure people find those, and thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks. It's great to see you, Jamie.
It's always great to see you too, Nicole. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here at NTI 2017. We're here in the Physio Control booth. A special thank you to them for making my trip here possible. And you want to make sure you follow up on all of the segments that I'm shooting here. So stay tuned to this channel so you can find more. That's going to wrap up this segment and episode of Innovations in Patient Care. Stay tuned for more segments from the top healthcare, EMS, and nursing conferences this year as we continue to focus on ways that healthcare professionals, just like you, are providing innovative care and improving patient outcomes all the time. Thanks again to Physio Control for sponsoring this and other episodes of Innovations in Patient Care. Make sure you say thank you to them on Facebook or Twitter for helping me bring you some of the best in healthcare innovators every year. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. You can check out my other shows in the iTunes directory or over at mediccast.com. I'll be back soon with more from Innovations in Patient Care. In the meantime, stay safe. And stay tuned here to Innovations in Patient Care.